The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock. Welcome to Taking Stock. And it's the 6th of December, 2023, just in case we went away. And of course, in 8 days, officially, the Santa Rally starts. Apparently, that's what the stats say. 14th, 15th, 16th of December, it starts. It's supposed to be the last 5 trading days of the year. But looking at the UK stats, it starts around about the 14th, 15th or 16th. I think that we're seeing something happening here. You know, something's moving. Let's have a look at the indices. By all means, if you've listened to this for the first time and you like the content, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe to the channel. I think we've got to make it to 5,000 before year end. It's a tough ask, but we can rally if the Santa can rally. The indices, okay, all up. Green on the screen, ladies and gentlemen. FTSE 100 up 0.42%. AIM All Share, it's trying. But it's up 0.11%. FTSE 250, that's quite encouraging. Biggest rise there, 0.5%. And if you look at the chart here in FTSE 250, it's now up almost 12% from the low, which was back in October 2022. And it's trying to get above that 200-day moving average. I quite like this formation here, building up. Before, it popped above, came back down, popped above. And now, if you can get above these previous highs, that's good. FTSE 250, of course, there are more sort of domestic, bigger companies rather than FTSE 100s, which are like the international companies. What are the rises here on the indices? Prudential, Weir Group, Ashton, that was a faller yesterday, 3i Group. What are the fallers here? British American Tobacco. I saw that at the lower end of the revenue, they're saying. But they intend to be, I think, 50% non-combustibles by 2035. That's non-fags. I do think it's a downward trend. They may have a heck of a dividend. They're keeping their dividend policy a progressive. But I do think, it's a trend that's being phased out, isn't it? I mean, around the world. Is it New Zealand? Did Rishi pass that law about over here where you can't buy fags now if you're, under 14? Which is a pity because in school I used to do that all the time. But BATS, look at the chart on BATS. It's not good. British American Tobacco. I would never knowingly buy a fag company. Would you, on the moral stance, where do you stand? Would you invest in a cigarette company? I think, though, unfortunately, my FTSE 350 dividend paying fund, IUKD is ticker. That's in there. But look at that. It's awful downtrend. I look at some charts today. Momentum, we're talking about. Okay, if you know of any companies you think have good momentum, but I'm looking at companies that are small caps, that are below 100 million market cap. They have revenue growth, and they are at 3-month highs. And for non-charters or non-believers out there, I keep having to explain: all a chart is the most truest form of money flow. Money flow is everything. Okay, it's depicted and reflected in the chart. Of course, if there's net supply, like there's been here, since pretty much you can see this. All this line is a 200-day moving average, and it follows, it reflects. It's a delayed sort of metric based on the share price. But you can see here, BATS chart, okay? You've got, let me get rid of this here. You can see the lines up here, higher highs there, okay? And then we get some lower highs, and it breaks down. 200 moving average here, and doesn't do that. Looks from, December 2021. In fact, what happened to the COVID dash for cash? It did dip a bit. People still smoked, didn't they? Rosen, look at that. That rise from 22nd of January. Right up here from, where do you go from? Pretty much 27 quid, the 200 moving average, up to 36 quid. And it didn't touch it until October 2022, September, and it broke down. And now look at that. Falling off a cliff, gap down. It's a big drop for a big company. That's BATS, British American Tobacco. Biggest fall on the FTSE 100 today. Okay, let's comment by all means. I've got to say this carefully. The winner of the first commentator on today's show is Daftus Cluck. Got to make sure I get that correct. Afternoon, Justin. Don't forget to discuss SBDS. Comments from yesterday. What's going on there? That placing and Spreadex taking TR1 to 8.25%, kicking off the Santa rally. Make it official, Justin. Yeah. There was a high net worth, took £1 million worth in the placing. And if you notice, the fund has gone down. In fact, the fund hasn't gone down. So what happens is, I'll just explain. Think of a pie. You know, you have a fund there. A pie, of course, just got a little bit bigger. And because of that, the shares are the same, but the percentage has gone down. So that's why Gresham has to announce it's gone from 12.8 to 7.4. It hasn't got any less shares. They still own the same amount of shares, but because there's more shares in issue, then their percentage comes down. Okay, so they still are the same. They're hard and fast holders. But we did have, yes, this holding here, 8.2%. Let me show you the share screen. 8.28%, they're the new holder. So you've got a million quid worth of shares there. He or she, I can't say who it is. I know who it is. But so the chart is looking good on the SPDS. Silver bullets. It's shooting up like a silver bullet like that. So what is that? Wow. The highest has been since June 2022. I'm very biased. I hold some stock in that company, but I do like it a lot. Let's look. LSEG, who owns Vox Markets? And will it ever be publicly listed? I've no idea if that's going to happen. But maybe when the bull market starts again, who knows? Would you invest? Gregory, Bushveld Minerals, trying to raise at 3p. Combine the market 255. What's your thoughts on that? My thoughts on anything is I want to be an investor in a business, you know, not a trader of the share price. That's my thoughts on it. So if you think you're going to bargain there, but, you know, for me, I'd have to go through the fundamentals of it all. I do believe a lot of debt, and it's based in South Africa. So that's two things already, in my mind, is high risk. Of course, it's done very well in the past, and it could rally again. But in my mind, you know, it's not my kind of stock. I know a lot of people like Bushveld Minerals, but it's not where I want to put my money, essentially. Could rally. Sometimes it's not all about share price rises. You know, you can miss out on lots of companies that are going to rise. But it's about the kind of business you want to own, you know. It's got a bit of debt, like I said, South Africa. It's not the kind of business I want to own. But it's trying to rally hard here. It's trying to break above that level. But like I said, it's come down from a long way. Of course, there's a play on vanadium as well, I suppose, and the Rand, maybe. But there's many moving parts to that. I mean, if I were you, I would check out the debt there because it's quite a bit of it, you know. You know, the chart is looking like it's bottomed. I don't know, they're raising money, I suppose. Let's go to the front page of Vox here. Quickly, I'll go into these five companies that are Ilika. You know, Gregory, it's one for you, isn't it? It's good. They've reached lithium iron parity, which is good, near Goliath batteries. Which is very good. 81 million market cap, Ilika, of course. Solid state batteries, tech of the future. So they said this is a significant milestone, as it means the Goliath solid state pouch cell is now able to match the representative energy density in incumbent lithium ion pouch cells, achieving an effective energy density of 250 Wh kilograms and a capacity of, I don't know what that is. But they're saying what the benefits are of these solid states. Is it improves safety, because lithium-ion can catch fire, these can't. Faster charging, longer lifespan, and greater temperature resilience without the need to sacrifice size, space, or effective range. So they've got an overview of that there. So that's quite exciting there. And Ilika, based just down the road there from me. So maybe I should pop in and see how progress is going. And just say, hey, I've read your RNS, guys. Well done. Parity lithium-ion, hey. Look at that. Breaking about 200 moving average. It's trying, isn't it? There's not a lot of news out today. I didn't find news. Did you see any news? Let me know if you saw any news. This is why I've done a bit of a screener, because there's not that much news out. But Ilika is one of the companies I sort of read this morning. And nice rise at 21%. That's what happens with microcaps. You can do that. They can do that, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, the screener I came up with today, Ilika was on it until I put revenue in there, revenue growth. So it didn't match that filter. But there we are, Ilika. Binance adds 170 Bitcoin miners in the US and Canada. I chatted to Nick Lee of Mindfair, used to be Perry Investments, and Barry Downs of Sure Valley Ventures, and they are investing in lots of AI companies. They see it as the future. It is the future, let's be honest. Do you have exposure to AI anywhere? because I do, we talked about it, is likening it to the dot-com revolution. You know, the way businesses and people conduct their lives and business will change immeasurably. And we're just scratching the surface, I think, of AI. And it's a little bit scary, let's be honest. But I think, if you've got a company, if you know of a company with, excellent sort of AI applications, I think, it's worth researching because, all power to the Albert there. It'll transform our productivity. Most followed companies, Deckel, or was it delisted, I think? There's a price there. We covered Omega Metrics, Oxford Metrics, sorry, not Omega, yesterday. Company with a lot of cash and doing quite well there. There's 64 million in cash, and cash is like 55% of their market cap. Atlantic Lithium, what's the price of lithium, anyone? It's going down. Because they are progressing very well, but the share price is struggling. I think resource stocks generally are struggling. Some are rallying, some gold players. Hummingbird, talking about gold. VLG there, Ilika amongst followed. It is quite interesting. Another company has been acquired, 10 Entertainment Group. They do bowling and all that stuff. But, cash, a recommended cash acquisition. You can see, can't you? We talked yesterday, someone did say, which sectors would you look at? Well, I think you've got to be looking in leisure. Any hammered down sectors, they're not too much indebted companies, I mean, specific. Got to look at them, you know? And a good example today was, I don't hold it anymore, but XP Factory. They're, by the way, the bid here was 412.5 pence. What was it? 46% up, maybe. But was it XP today? One of the guys bought some shares, isn't he? So 27 million market cap. It's going to be, in fact, worth watching this video, by the way, if you haven't watched it. Paul and Paul, double Pauls, just talking about their own stocks, ideas, but both, very experienced investors. And they understand the fundamentals. In fact, they so in-depth, at some points, they lost me for a little bit. Talking about the old accounting system versus the new accounting system really gets into the nuts and bolts. But very impressive, and Paul's done very well of late. And he holds some XP. But the XP Factory, who is it? Andrew Jacobs, Chief Operating Officer. Now, if he's a Chief Operating Officer, he knows something about the business, doesn't he? He knows how it's going. But he bought, 233... where's my calculator? Let's work this out. Times 0.15. So he bought 35 grand's worth. It's not bad. Not bad at all. And he now has, a quarter of 1% of the company. So I think he's rallied on this today. But I think if you're understanding that there are companies taking out leisure companies because they see them as good value, then sometimes private investors, we don't see that sometimes. You think, it's a hard market. But of course, the share price goes down in a good company, the company gets cheaper, the potential goes up. So Andrew there is thinking maybe it's cheap down here, so he's buying some. And which other companies are running the rule over these leisure companies? They're good growing companies that are undervalued, seemingly undervalued, because you've seen that so many takeovers have happened in the last few weeks. The UK is undervalued, that's a generalization, of course. I mean, there are, it's a market of stocks. It's a stock market. But there are certain stocks, companies undervalued completely. Ilika's up. Yes, that's it. Yes, who would buy the placing shares at 3p when you can buy in the market cheaper? Well, you got a bit of pressure there, but I suppose you didn't expect them to go down. Yes, sold Ilika this morning. This news was expected. You sold them? How long have you had them for? You little dirty trader. You dirty, dirty trader, Gregory. Tenant Group is another company that's been taken over. Yeah, absolutely. I assume you posted that before I talked there. Thoughts on Red Northgate? I have no thoughts on them at all. Red. Let me just put this in the thing here. It's a biggie. Do you know what? The thing with stock market, right? This is my thoughts on it. The reason why it's hard to get into investing is there are too many options. is option paralysis. I mean, if you look at the UK market alone, and it's come down a lot, but there are about 2,000 listed companies. Let's say you actually made your intention. Let's say your New Year's resolution, right, was to research one stock per day. Obviously, by the end of the year, you do 365. In a leap year, 366. Even then, it takes 6 years, or pretty much 4 or 5 years, to research all the companies on the thing. So in my mind, you've got to limit, you've got to stand in the area where you think, you've got to fish in the waters where you think you're going to get the biggest winners. And in my mind, when I've looked at the stats, over the last 1, 3, and 5 years, the best performing stocks are below 100 million market cap. So I generally stick to that area. Now, something that's high risk, maybe it is. But like I said, I also, my biggest holding is a fund that covers the biggest 350 stocks in the UK who pay dividend. So I let that do the work, the heavy lifting in the big boring stocks. And I look for small, exciting companies that are going to move. And 60% of the best performers are under 100 million market cap. 50% are below 50 million market cap. And these are sustainable rises, by the way, 1, 3, and 5 years. So I tend not to look at bigger companies. But what do they do? Founded in 1992, Hellfire provide, and motorists involved in accidents were not their fault. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Interim results. Let's look at the interim results, shall we? So we got, let's just break this down. 865 market cap there we're looking at. All right. And these are for the 6 months, ended 31st of October. So revenue's up 30%, underlying up 16 or 17%. EBIT, which of course is pretty much operating profit, that's earnings before interest and tax, up 1.6, but underlying 23. Profit before tax, it's all up, all double-digit metrics here, so it's looking very good. Net debt, there is the little worry, I suppose, isn't it? It's gone up by 14%. So leverage 1.6, well, something too bad there. But in this environment, again, my job, I see it as my job, is to cut out companies I don't want to look at. And of course, you're going to miss opportunities. You've got to accept that. You can't cover every stock that's going to rise in the market. But you want the best companies all. And there are companies out there with no debt that are growing. So why go for a company that has debt unless it's materially undervalued? You know, so you've got to weigh that up. So there's very many moving parts. But I mean, if you're very, very selective, you know, literally you can cut down the amount of companies you need to research to about 100. And that is very manageable. You know, on a yearly basis, you can read those three times over and get into them very well. You know, that's why filters are quite good to look at, I think. But let's just go down to their balance sheet here. Hang on a sec. That's the balance sheet. Scroll down. No tables yet. Right, here we go. Underlying. I think we're getting there. No rental. No, not there yet. Ah, there we are. There's the income statement, I assume. Right. Liabilities. Borrowings. Short-term borrowings, 33 million. Long-term borrowings, 585 million. To me, I know likey, because I just think it's got debt there. Why is debt a worry? First of all, to refinance that, it's going to get more expensive, isn't it? And it's a drag. It's an anchor. You know, you have to pay interest in that debt. So, yeah. So maybe, what's the profit here? You would say on a PE, it's not looking too bad, but an EV, EV sort of profit, it's a bit more expensive. But let's look at this chart anyway, see how it's performing. And you often see that sometimes. Whenever you see a company that's seemingly cheap and the share price has been hammered, you know, if you're looking at the profit and the market cap, check out the debt. That's often the thing that's dragging it down or holding it down. But red. Like I said, I don't know much about this guy. I just see it's got debt and it's in that area. But yeah, it's done well, though, isn't it? From, I suppose, from 2020 to 2021, there's cheap money. Now that's going to become a bit more expensive, isn't it, that debt, I assume, going forward. But, you know, it's trying to get above that 2 million moving average. It's in a bit of a range. So 3 states for chart, up trend, down trend. and range, and that's a bit of range bound. Having said that, you can see, you know, a few sort of lower highs, which is not good. But having said that, there's a higher low. So that you know, conforms to a range, basically. So that's that. But, okay. How do stock markets perform in the year of elections, with the US and UK elections next year? Yeah, apparently. Well, someone look it up. Apparently it's quite good, isn't it? I vaguely remember it's, you know, the but thing is, you know, someone said there's no trend there, but when you have a 2-year downturn, go back, you know, I did it a while back. When you have a 2-year downtrend in the market selling off, generally, it don't last for a year generally, let alone 2 years. Now, if you go to the AIM All Share, you know, you can say we're way overdue a rally, a big rally. And I did say yesterday, one of the funds I looked at, and they did a quarterly breakdown of the returns. It was either Vanguard All Share or was the IUKD, one of the ones that, but they've never had, since 2000, they've never had 4 quarters of negative return. And I think there was like 3 in the last thing. And whenever there was 2 negative quarters, the next quarter was very bullish. But look at the AIM All Share now. It's literally, how many days in? September the 6th, 8th, 2021. Over 2 years. If you go back, you know, and see a downturn like that, you tend to, in fact, there was, you know, I did cover this, I put the stats in this, and we'll have to look it back up. But literally, the returns after that, you know, 2-year downturn is big. It only happened during the Great Financial Crash. And the rally we had since then was big. I still think we got a bit of a volatility in the markets because the real world economy is going to struggle a little bit, I think. You know, you've still got high debt, cost of living crisis, but the downturn then will, you know, hopefully, you know, move the central bankers to reduce interest rates, which then is very good for the markets, and especially for micro caps, small caps. So I think maybe a Santa rally. This is what I'm thinking. Hold me to this, okay? Santa rally towards the end of the year. Little bit of a roll-off, consolidation, bit of volatility in first quarter. And then central banks, looking at the data, getting a bit worried, start signaling they're going to start easing. Inflation will come down as well. And then we'll have a massive rally. The proper bull market starts in 2024. That's what I think. Based on no evidence. That's what I think. You know, and that's also a thing. When you see a financial report, okay, and you look at the figures, and then you read the CEO, what the CEO says, is there a lot of, I think, we're confident, we hope, that all there's opinion. The figure's a fact, you know. Don't get confused with the narrative and not the numbers. Numbers are what's important, narrative's not. It's, fact versus opinion. But anyway, that's what I think. what else is there? Let's look at on the list, Greatland Gold, their corporate presentation. Oh, it's most red. Oh, let's check out the corporate presentation. GST acquisition of, I don't know what's going on here. This company is literally at 23 million market cap. I do not want this. I do not want a Kim Jong-un 2024 calendar or a devil bikini. Thank you. Send feedback. Not interested in that. Thank you. So they are acquiring this company. It's no idea what this. But why did I say they raised 847,000 right in November? Was this the acquisition? Hang on, proposed acquisition of EasySend, acquisition of Semnet. Is this the same thing? They're acquiring a lot of companies. How much money have they got? Results for the year end. Let's have a look. Net loss for 1.6 million. Let's scroll down here. They had cash 4.2 as of March. Why are they raising? Does anyone understand the story here? I don't know what's going on. They are acquiring companies. And I know there's a lot of hype on this company and it's rallied a little bit. But it's a cybersecurity company based in Singapore. Total consideration of 1.8 million payable through 800,000 in cash. And 1 million new shares in the company, as detailed below. Profitable cybersecurity business provide the company with expertise and licenses that directors believe are critical components. okay, they're going for a GS Money and B2B neo banking operations. There's a lot of companies been doing that that haven't done so well. I mean, do you remember Bank? That was doing that. That went through. It's quite a few companies. This is what happens at the bottom of a bear market. You're getting, quite a few companies going through. And that's not bad. I mean, it's bad for the employees, of course. I'm just saying it's natural cleansing for the market. And what happens is then the companies that survive thrive because they get a bigger market share or they're stronger. And there's less, of course, money to invest in. So that money's pooled, essentially. But GST, let's look at the chart here. GST, I haven't got to my five stocks. Why? See, it does spike up and down. So a lot of hypiness around this. When you get spikies like this, there's a lot of hypiness in it. You probably get a lot of people pushing you on Twitter and stuff. Where are they? Five. There we are. Five companies with momentum. These are, here they are. Okay. These are companies with a market capitalization below 100 million with revenue growth with share prices at the 3-month high. Belvoir, very good company. They do lettings, real estate, mainly lettings. They're franchise business as well. It's a good result. Let's look at the chart of Belvoir. BLV. Some good results, I think, Ed. That is a good-looking chart. See, three-month high. The thing with momentum, like you say, you're getting net buying coming in. So it's a very good sign. You see, they're overpowering the sellers, the buyers are, pretty much. There's not a lot of slackness in the share price. There's not a free float. Or there's people holding on to the stock. Or supply and demand, that's all shares are. Like a supply, supply stays the same, demand grows, share price goes up. So that's Belvoir. What else is there? It's Sensis. Now, this has had a torrid time, but seems to be bouncing. I mean, I think Paul bought this as one of the companies he wrote off. But, could you say, let's look at the 50-day moving average. Yeah, it's above that. An early indicator, above 50-day, breaking new highs, and it's done that. So you can say these are sort of previous highs. Maybe even this is the previous high here, which is trying to get above. I would look into that, though, because fundamentally, I mean. Skillcast. Anyone know what that's about? I don't know what Skillcast is about. What does Skillcast do? Skillcast. Skillcast Group, 23 million. Best practice, expert opinions, industry insights, news and key trends in regulatory compliance training, digital learning, ed tech and reg tech. Okay, regulation tech. Interim results. What was the thing? Well, the loss before tax. Oh, went down. So from it increased there. Loss before tax, 700,000, 200,000. That should be increased, shouldn't it, really? The dividend, they're cashing back in 7 million. But their gross margin has gone down a little bit. Revenue's gone up a little bit. They say trading since the period ends, be encouraging. Okay. SKL, let's look at the chart here. So you need to marry both. This is basically just looking at, revenue. Oh, look at that. That's why it's spiked up. Skillcast. Some of that isn't sustainable. It'll come back down, or it'll consolidate and go sideways a bit. Oh, it's up there. That's what the share price is. Is there news up today on that? I don't think so, is there? Investor presentation. No, there's not. What else is there? Interseed Group. They came up with news, I think, late yesterday, didn't they? And it rallied on that. IGP, Interseed Group. They're 57 million market cap now. But there we are. Major new contract with large US federal agency. What is it going to be? Is there the order, aggregate value in excess of about $8 million, with all license element in this contract being recognized in the year 2024. Let's look at the... So they are 57 million market cap, half year report. Let's look, it's risen a lot recently. 7 million revenue? What, 40 million? What? Profit for tax, 1 million? That's not what, 25 times? Is it P, one of that? Net margin? Net margin is good, though. Wow. But doesn't seem cheap to me. But that's Interseed. IGP. Let's look at that. I think it shot up yesterday, didn't it, after that news? Yeah, it did, with that. Maybe we should look at a 1 month high, because these are, some of these are shooting up. What else? His last one is Wentworth Resources. Oh, they've had an offer, haven't they? I saw that today, I think. Wentworth Resources, and one of the biggest risers today. Update on offer from Morrill and Prom, the comedy double act. Yeah, seems to be going through. But yeah, those are three things. If you want me to do a screen or anything, there we go, it's gapped up a little bit there. Okay, let's look at the front page of the box, see what people are reading. There's Power Metals, Sirica operation update. I'm not over all stocks too much, but it's up, you know, 0.25%, which suggests to me that people aren't enamored with that much. SQZ. But I think this chart was coming around, wasn't it? Trying to. But having said that, oil and gas at the moment. Have you seen the oil? Let's look here. Where is it? Commodities. Brent. Look at it. It's taking the hammering. Now, why is it taking the hammering? Oil is a very good barometer of recessions. That is at, you know, 7th December. 7th? The 6th. 6th of December. Pretty much July. Almost a six-month low. I did say when that rallied, I said, that's not sustainable. Did I say that? Genius. It came back and rolled over. But yeah, Brent crude looks down there. So that's saying something, isn't it? What's it saying? It's saying to me that the economy is weak. Global economies are weak. I'm a little bit bearish on the economy, but the markets, not so much, because of central banks. But what are the gas as well is, you know, rolling over. So it's a sort of play on that. So, you know, we leverage the commodity price. Power Metals, operation update. How down 3%. So people are not impressed. They're targeting nickel at discovery in Botswana. And so high priority conductor, T114. They identified the conductor is very strong. It's very strong here. It's steeply dipping with a multi-kilometer length. And importantly, is coincident with the keel of the feeder zone intrusion within target area T114. Interesting. XB is now one of the most read. Is someone jumping on that? Is it? Okay. It's a rises here. Tenant taking over. Systems One, they're rising. I would suggest when a company rises on results, it's obviously a good sign because apart from interims, you know, the most detailed report they put out there is pretty much final results. So if it's rising on this, so let's look at the market cap. It is System One, 28 million market cap. That's what they do. They are a marketing decision-making platform. Well, okay, announces results. So revenue's up by 27%. That's good. If you look for growth companies, I tend to look at this, you know, roughly 20% more. If you can do that 20% more consistently for 4 years, you double your revenue. And if your margins are similar, or the same, of course, then you double the value generation. But of course, markets will price that in ahead. So it'll rise, it'll double before that. But it's all up, isn't it? Adjusted operating costs, 1.9 million adjusted profit before tax. But £1 million profit for tax. £1 million from a loss, though. What cash they got there? To say. Let's sort of scroll down the balance sheet. Current assets, cash of 6.2. Well, that's interesting. So got a decent amount of cash. And it's gone up, unless they've done a placing. It's gone up. You can check that on the cash flow statement. That's a bit of a mess. Oh, no, I can't. But that's a good sign. They're generating cash and they're rising. So, don't know much for the company, but looks interesting. Revenue growth, it's in a range there, isn't it? You can see it's come down on this level. It's a little bit illiquid because you can see it's a bitty chart, but it needs to get above these previous highs. It's failed a couple of times at this level, 220. So it needs to get above that. It's failed today at this level as well. So range bound, ladies and gentlemen. Gregory, I did buy a few more desks though. Okay, all right. So why did you sell out of Ilika, Gregory? What were your thoughts there? Because they got cash from me. They're going to release more. It's a story stock at the moment, isn't it? So A big move for TUI, and still plenty of room to move for the north. Yeah, well, they've announced, haven't they? They may be delisting from the London Stock Exchange. But we'll have a look. Let's look at TUI chart. TUI. They obviously joint. Look at that. That is like a plane coming to land. And it's not ready to take off yet. You see, you know. Unsuccessful attempts to break 200-day moving average. That's a quick rally there. Broke it, fell back down. So, yeah, it's a gap up. Oh, sorry, I'm not even showing the chart. Silly me. Sorry, you can see there. You know, it's a plane coming out of land. Has it hit the runway yet? Is it ready to take back off? Look at that. Breaking above 200 moving average. But it's messy. It's done that previously. Could be a fake break. Sometimes you need to see a longer bottom. Do you know what? Almost like the night tick comes down like that smoothly and then comes around. It takes a while to form a bottom and then rally up. So, yeah, that's TUI. But yeah, there's news on that. It's a bit of a knock for the London Stock Exchange. Destiny creeping back up without news, a bit unusual. Normally shares drift down after news. Yeah, no, I think it's just sellers dried up and some people are buying, realize there's still massive potential. People get scared by a drop off in the chart and then they jump back in. But let's look at Destiny's chart. Destiny Farmer. I didn't measure the thing here. That's what you'd expect. And the volatility of small macro cap stocks. When you get a big rally, the consolidation, you think, okay, how much will the pullback be? You expect it to be 30%. It did like 26% from top to bottom there in that consolidation phase. But now you see some sellers drying up, bouncing back up, which is nice. And in fact, it did actually, didn't even get that previous sort of resistance level, which is nice. Which is nice. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, news to come out. It'd be nice to get news up for year end on a big deal. Yes, Mikey, I just looked at that. Mikey, welcome along. I don't know if you've seen your comment before. You get your first comment badge. Send a self-addressed envelope to Vox Markets and they'll send you a little badge in the post. All right. You may, unless you have commented before, and then you can't get that badge. Higher lows on GCL trading above both the 50 and 200 day. Okay, so let's look at GCL, shall we? GCL. Do you know what? Actually, today, again, I had an alert on... what is GCL? Geiger, you mean, is it? Geiger? What am I looking at? GCL? What is GCL? Am I got that right? Hang on, stop. GCL. Why can't I see that? What is GCL? I'm not seeing anything there. GCL? No. I'm not even getting Geiger coming now. How are you spelling Geiger? Oh, I am, yes. Sorry. It's there. Sorry. I don't know what happened there. I was printing GCL and it was happening. Yes. Oh, good rally there. It's literally powered on uranium. That's a strong rally, isn't it? But you can see that. Look at that. Even 200 moving average. It's probably 50 on as well. Let's have a look. Maybe that's a golden cross, is it? Yeah, golden cross here. What you need, of course, the golden cross to sustain is for the share price to stay above the 50-day moving average. That way, it'll keep dragging that up. Eventually, the 200-day moving average will come up as well. And ideally, you want them sort of both going up, you know, almost in parallel. You know, like you see here, if you go back here, it keeps going up. And, dips down, back up. That's good. So the share price needs to stay above that 50-day moving average to keep dragging it up. But yeah, it looks a strong-looking chart there. What's the deal with uranium at the moment? People are liking it? Are they are they warming towards nuclear reactors and their nuclear power as a clean source of energy? It seems the sentiment is turning. Well, it has turned, probably. Let's have a look, Phil. Paddy. Crypto and gold move suggests CB's already injecting liquidity. Well, yes, and I think they're moving. First of all, you know, Bitcoin, there's the ETF rumor. And of course, the halving. The halving. A bit cultish, isn't it? The halving. It's in a thing in a horror movie. You know, like the what's some games? That thing with Jennifer Lawrence, The Hunger Games. It's like the halving. It's like that, isn't it? Don't know that. What do they call those games? I don't know what they call them. The games. I don't know if it was just the games, but it's like that. They're halving, but also they are sort of rallying in anticipation that, you know, the central banks will be, you know, easing next year. So maybe in anticipation of that. Of course, you plan more money and money gets cheaper, then you need hard assets. And of course, assets will rally then. Will we see more negative trading updates from the house builders next year, I wonder? I wanted to get exposure to a couple of them. Well, I think it was Taylor Wimpey today. Let's see, I've got a little, house builders. Here we go. So BDEV hit a 52-week high. Now, this is unprecedented, really, isn't it? If you think about it, we are in an environment that's not conducive to house, you know, buying, getting new mortgages and stuff, but they're rallying, they're off their lows. And this is a typical example. I did look at this going back to 2009, a few videos ago, saying when this happens generally, the house builders do tend to rally before the market's bottom. And you got that. It was Taylor Wimpey today. Taylor Wimpey as well, hitting 52-week high. But, you know, it's like doing anything, isn't it? Do you take your plunge now? Or listen, you know, if you can, they'll have a pullback, hopefully. Come sideways and back up. Who knows? But they pay a nice dividend, don't they? So what you can safely say here is, I think hopefully the downtrend has ended now. And look at that 200-day moving average. So I am obsessed with the 200-day moving average. I'm not obsessed with it. Do you know what? I guarantee I win the prize for having the least amount of sleep. Last night, I went to bed at 11 o'clock after reading my latest detective novel in bed, my Kindle. Woke up at 1 o'clock. Didn't go back to bed. Just things on my mind. Look at that. Break the 200-day moving average there. It's nice. All you want to do is break previous highs then. Okay. Tried there. Done it here. Okay. It's nice. Yeah, so house builders strong. Strong, man. The force is strong. Anything else? System one, we looked at that. Most of the fallers today were... Do you want to look at Ben's Creek? I don't want to look at Ben's Creek. Thank you. Yeah, not a lot there. Helium 1 is taking a hammering again. Affinity down again. Supreme taking a bit of a knock. I don't know why that is. I mean, there's that regulation hanging over them. Maybe it's just in sentiment with bats. But no, it can't be bats because they're fags, aren't they? Really. No idea. Be interesting to see if they do trading in line with that. Anything else? Dagger. There's a disagreement between OPEC Plus over production cuts, lowering the crude price. Yeah, no, exactly. Saudis are happy saying, let's cut. You know, the rest of the countries who need the money saying, no, we don't want to cut. We're just pumping out as much as we can. You know, make hay while the sun shines. Or make dollar while the oil price hasn't crashed. I think it's going lower. Are we having towards a slower economy? I'm surprised TUI is still operating, says Phil. I haven't looked at the balance sheet for some time, but they looked worrying from what I remember. Was it final results today, TUI? I haven't got them on there. I don't know. I thought, is an in-chat here. Rufusoff says, Dagger, I thought OPEC agreed cuts just 6 days ago. What's up? Yeah, they did agree cuts, didn't they? But it wasn't enough. Is there a million barrels a day? Who counts those barrels? No, that's enough. 999,999. Stop. That's enough. Could be wrong on Ilika, but I think it will pull back after the news. Shares don't go up twice off one bit of news. Yeah, maybe in a bull market they do. Hey. Ben, tell your counter. I think good chance Ilika will be taken over. It's a small compared to the other players. Mystery shopped Boom Battle Bar. It was busy. I know you don't ramp, Justin, but surely if we're forward looking and this share price should be higher, I do hold. Yeah. No, I don't. No, I, you know, I, there was a confusion over the broken. I looked at this on my webinar last week. I don't understand. They didn't really match up. I know pretty much the EBITDA margins of Escape Hunt to run at 30%, Boom Battle about 20. So run about 25% in mixed, but I did it on like 20% EBITDA and moved it down. And the broken notes didn't match up because they'd gone to year end March for some reason. I didn't understand the broken notes. I thought, what? And I think confused a lot of people. But I think they're going to have listen, do you know what? It's true. Do you remember Marston saying yesterday that people are booking early for Christmas? If you haven't booked a restaurant, you go out for Christmas with a few mates or something, you're too late. Almost, you're not going to get the pick of the crop. Because Marston's saying everything's booked out. I heard this lady talking about, on radio the other day. I went to book a restaurant last night for the 18th of December. All booked out. The Friday I wanted, the 18th, all booked out. I could have my lunch at 12 o'clock. That was it. So I think if they're going to release good news, it's going to rally. It always rallies. Every time they release good news, it rallies because it's good news generally. But then it has a pullback. You get rip drip sellers, and there's a pullback. But it's just sentiment, isn't it? I wonder how I feel about it. It was frustrating, isn't it? But that's the way. That's where the cookie crumbles. What else is it? Something else? I don't know what it was now. Anyway, let's just go quickly on some business news. Where is that? There we are. UK construction contracts sharply in November. This is the Purchasing Managers Index, edged down to 45.5 from October's reading at 45.6, well below 50 growth threshold, the second lowest reading since early in the COVID-19 pandemic. Wow. Doesn't make no sense sometimes, does it? I mean, the house builders, of course, are land play as well, like John has mentioned a few times, but they're rallying and construction is still contracting. This is interesting as well. UK investors pull money from property funds in November. UK investors pulled money from the real estate funds for the second month running in November, but sentiment towards equity and fixed income funds improved, fund network Callister said. Oh, there we are. I think it is. You understand, you ladies and gentlemen watching right now or listening right now are early adopters of the bull market. There are many, many late adopters of the bull market. I'm not saying bull market it's not technically started yet, but if it does start, you're pretty much picking the bottom here, close to, in certain stocks, people don't, everyone gets in, people don't invest, right? Generally get really inquisitive about the stock market. If they know you like stocks and shares, they start asking you questions around about three quarters of the way up towards the end of the bull market. And that's when new money starts to come in, all the way up. It's like I said, it's self-driving, self-fueling. Share price rise attracts more money. Share prices rise because of that new money comes in, chasing the share price. And obviously, it's the opposite for a bear market. But once the bull market starts, you watch, it will aggressively rally. We're not there yet. We haven't really had that rally. But once it starts to kick up, you'll see a big rise. It'll be like almost vaccine day. That wave, that big wave that comes in when the tide changes. That'll happen. Then it'll come back a little bit. Then it'll rise again. And that'll attract more money and more money. There we are, travel giant. Just imagine a giant who likes to go on his travels, just can step from one continent to the other in one step. This is not that, this is TUI. One of the world's largest travel firms has said it's considering quitting the London Stock Exchange in favour of listing in Frankfurt. What? Sell. Everyone sell. In fact, buy, because they may like the exchange. So listen, they are dual listed, but the main listing is on the LSE since 2014. Bosses said they would consider an upgrade to list on Germany's main stock exchange at the group's annual general meeting in February, but added that delisting from London would require the backing of at least 75% of shareholders. That's not what the LSE want to hear right now, is it? Where IPO is happening in the New York Stock Exchange and companies favouring the NYSE over LSE. You don't want a biggie like TUI announcing that. That's annoying. What is the... They don't do RNSs on the normal thing, do they, TUI? No, April. But they are 2.8 billion market cap, books, right? But anyway, that's annoying, TUI. Anything else? Any more for any more? Bat says, continued strong volume and revenue growth in new categories. Yeah, might have spooked Supreme shareholders, but who knows really? Yeah, okay, yeah. They call it non-combustibles. That's what they call it. Vapes. Why don't they call it vapes? Don't call it vapes. Like non-combustibles. Oh, can I buy a non-combustible, please? construction looks very strong in the US from a chart I've seen. Okay. Marvelous stuff. That's it. Tomorrow I may have a guest on, I think. Hopefully. I'm sorry if I'm a little bit out of it. I've had 2 hours sleep and my eyes are very heavy. So, sorry. Thanks for watching and listening, and speak tomorrow. What day is tomorrow? It's Thursday. And don't forget, if you could, give us a thumbs up. Give us a thumbs up, Gov. Give us a thumbs up, Gov. And hit that subscribe button if you could. And don't forget, download the Vox Markets app. It's the best app I know for RNSs. Absolutely. It's got other things on it as well. But it's free. And the amount of money that's gone into it to develop that, you know, it would help you show your appreciation and download it, because there's a lot of development work going into that. Thank you very much. And speak tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.